Kof Ches Elul, Tuesday the 23rd of September, Dan Yehoshua Posen, Rosh Hashanah.
This morning in Slichas, as in everyday Slichas, for some people possibly the pinnacle of the Slichas, the build-up to the Slichas, till Shema Kaleinu. We come to Shema Kaleinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our fillers, to accept our fillers. So L'chayr, the next pasuk that we would say afterwards, would be the most important. In Nusach Ashkenaz, the next pasuk which we say afterwards is Hashiveinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our Hashiveinu Elecha Hashem v'nashuva. Return us to you and we will return. L'chayr, this pasuk doesn't seem to make sense. Return us to you and we will return. The concept of tshuva is a concept which we're meant to be doing. We're meant to be doing tshuva. We don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do tshuva for us. What's the poshut, the bakosha, which we're asking? What are we actually asking for? There was a story a number of years ago of a wealthy grey in Brooklyn, let's call him Mr. Reich, who, when it came to the time of his oldest daughter came to Shidduchim, Shatzchonim were tripping over themselves to try and suggest a Shidduch for Mr. Reich's daughter, and finally a shidduch was suggested. Of course, he was the best boy in his yeshiva, and he was Allah Milas, him and his mishpacha, everything was perfect. The couple started going out on shidduchim, and everything seemed mamish b'shet. So it came to that stage where Mr. Reich called up Mr. Levy, the father of the boy, and he said, I think we should sit down and talk numbers. Right, so the conversation everyone always chalashes for. So Mr. Levy comes around to Mr. Reich's large mansion and he comes into his big study and he sits down and Mr. Reich starts laying on thick. I've never yet been in this situation, but those of you who have, I'm sure you can empathize. Starts laying on thick. He says, you know, my daughter, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my daughter. I've already got an apartment now, she saw. And when the couple move back to Brooklyn, I've already purchased a house for them in Brooklyn. I'm going to support your son for as long as he needs, you know, it's on my cheshbon. And Mr. Levy sitting there, and mamish, leila, gewaldig. And after a while, of Mr. Reich really laying on thick, he turns around and he says, you know what, enough about me. You know, what about you? What are you bringing to the table? So Mr. Levy shuffles a bit, and he didn't actually see that kasha coming, definitely not after the way the conversation had been going. He turns around and he says, what do you mean, what about me? He says, what are you bringing to the table? He says, what am I bringing to the table? I'm bringing my son. I'm bringing my son to the table. So he says, no, okay, but seriously now, you know, I don't want to be taken for a ride. I'm not asking you to match what I'm giving, but I'm offering the world. You're offering, you're just turning around and offering. Tachlis, what are you offering? So he starts humming and thinking what you can say. And before he has a chance to speak, Mr. Reich turns and says, Hezekheim, $100,000, posha as a token of our Koras HaTov, of what I'm bringing to the table. What I'm giving, $100,000 is the minimum I'm prepared to discuss. Mr. Levy says, Mr. Reich, with respect, $100,000 is not, it's chaloimus. He says, no, $100,000, I'm giving you a week. This time next week, Sunday afternoon, you come back to me, and you tell me if you're interested in the shidduch or not. Right? He goes home, and he walks into the front door. He doesn't even have to open his mouth. His wife can see already how distraught he is. He said, what happened? He said, forget about it. You know, we're going to have to look elsewhere. So, what do you mean, look elsewhere? The shidduch is so perfect. The couple are so happy. He says, but it's not shaykh. They're asking, he's asking for guzmois of money. He says, no, you got to do what you can. You have to go and you have to borrow and you have to ask and you have to pull out every connection you have to do the best you can for this shidduch. Shayn? So he goes and he goes to all his friends and he goes to people he knows and he goes around the whole of town. And by the end of the week, he manages to rumble together $35,000, which for him, he didn't even think he'd get anywhere near that. But $35,000 is way short of the mark. He's driving around Brooklyn Sunday morning, thinking where else he can go. He doesn't know where to go. And he passes Mr. Reich's house. Mr. Reich, Sunday morning, his open door policy. Everyone comes in, Mr. Reich, the Shalachim, Moistus, everyone comes in. So he parks his car and he goes inside and he sits in the line. Finally, it comes to his turn. And Mr. Reich opens the door and he sees him and says, Mr. Levy, what are you doing Sunday afternoon? He said, not Sunday morning. He said, no, I'm not coming for our meeting. Ah, I'm sitting, come inside, sit down. How can I help you? He says, I have a problem. So what's your problem? Then I have a son in Shidduchim. Gewaldige boy, best boy in Shiva. Gewaldige boy. And a shidduch has been suggested for my son. There's one problem. I need to come up with another $65,000 for this shidduch to work. And I haven't got the money. I've tried every single connection I have. I don't have the money. I'm coming for you, Mr. Reich. I've heard about your generosity. I've heard about how kind you are. I need a donation for Chnosis Kala. Chnosis Kala. Unfortunately, explain that Kadosh Baruch Hu has in Shemayim, waiting for us, Oitzus HaTov, storehouses, a bracha, simcha, you all know what happened, right? Yeah. Bracha, simcha, panosa, gesund, yiddisha nachas. Everything, poshut, everything we can want, everything that we need, and it's all up there in Shemayim, and he's waiting to give it to us. But there's a term, there's a condition, there's a clause. I can't just give it to you like that. You have to come to me, and you have to do a shtikel tshuva. You have to open peacefully, you have to open epos. Do a little bit of tshuva. If you can do a little bit of tshuva, then I want to give you, I want to shower you with everything that I have for you. And you know what the matzav is? Rachmon Litzan, the matzav is such that we are poshut shnors. We can't even bring ourselves, we can't even motivate ourselves to give a little bit of tshuva, to do a little bit of tshuva. You know, they say about the shtetl and the old used to come at the beginning of Elul, the people would mamash sitter. The ganze Chodesh Elul, they'd be sitting. Chodesh Elul, if it turns out that way in the calendar, then we've already left the beach, and we've already arrived back in town. Right, and we come and we try and we settle, and the kids start school and everything. Before you know it, this slichus, and before you know it, Rosh Hashanah, how do you actually get to motivate yourselves? How do a person get to kick start themselves, to get in the right mood, in the right mode, where they can begin to start thinking about doing tshuva? Say, Chazal, that's what's going on here. We have a problem. We have a problem. In order to get to activate what we need to activate, we have to motivate ourselves to do tshuva, but we can't even do that. So Sunday morning, cap in hand, we posh a gil. We go and we wait in line, and we turn around and we say, you know what, even the clause, even what you requested from us, we can't even do that by ourselves. Can we have an adobo? Hashiveinu v'no shuva. If you can return us to you, then we can do tshuva. If you can help us help ourselves. Motivate us to motivate ourselves. Give us that head start. We say in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, v'simloich atzah Hashem levadecho. There are many people who, during the course of their day, during the course of their year, they go about life in a very monotonous way. One day follows the next. Everything follows each other. But we don't actually stop and take check as to what it is that we're meant to be doing when it comes to being mamnech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us. We come to Rosh Hashanah and we're meant to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu a melech. What does it mean making him a melech? Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik came out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. And the Mefarshim explain the reason why he came out of prison on Rosh Hashanah is because, as we know in the Medrash, Yosef was meant to have already been released in prison 2 years prior to when he actually came out. But because he stopped and he asked for intervention and he did what for his madrega was considered unacceptable ishtablis, therefore he had to sit in prison for another 2 years. When he came out on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is the day when v'simneich atzah Hashem levadecho. Levadecho means there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to realize, for Malchus, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the be-all and end-all. He is the person, he is what's responsible for whatever goes on in our life. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the day-to-day business and work and life that we almost lose track. We might go through the motions, we might daven three tefillahs a day, we might do everything that we're doing, but be'etzem, as far as recognizing the fact that it all reverberates around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it all is dependent upon our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not so long how much actual effort and koyach and perception and wisdom we might have. We need to do the ishtagos that we need to do, but ultimately the bottom line is it all depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the concept of a simnei chatzah Hashem levadecho. Only, solely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who we need to point upon last. Yosef HaTzadik, when he realized after those 2 years, the mistake that he made, he came out on Rosh Hashanah, because that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is about being mamlich. The Alter Kelm asks on the Gemara in Tanis, famous Gemara, the Gemara says, we say in Kriya Shon, Le'ovdi b'chol levavchem. It says, Gemara, Le'ovdi b'chol levavchem, Eizu avayza shiba, Le'ivzu tfilo. He asks the Kasha, what's so difficult about tfilo that we call it avayza? What's so difficult? What's avayza? Avayza means it's a hard work. What is the hard work of tfilo? What's so difficult about tfilo? He explains that this concept is the nekuda that makes tefillah called avodah. The concept of a person, if you think what we're doing in shul, we stand in shul and we're davening for panosa. Let's pick panosa as an easy example. We're spending hours in the office trying to make that panosa. And it's dependent on our machshavas, and it's dependent on the strategy and on the plan and on the connections and everything else. A person could easily get to a state where they say, kofim etzim yodi, you know, this deal we did well, and this deal we have to learn from our mistakes and we have to do it differently. That might all be true. But the bottom line is, we're standing in shul 3 times a day and we're davening for panosa. So when we're davening for panosa, we have to be able to train ourselves to think, to understand that really, no matter how much ishtadlus we do and how much ishtadlus we don't do, the panosa is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That takes work. That takes work for a person to genuinely believe and make an integral part of him that he understands everything he's downing for is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and without HaKadosh Baruch Hu he wouldn't have it. That's avodah. That's avodah. That's like a hard work. It takes effort. We read on Shabbos, Kikor ve'lecha adova ma'oi b'ficho u'vavcho lasoysu. Chaim Shulevitz asks that we've just said in the Pasuk, it's not in Shamayim, it's not Mevelayam, according to Ramban, according to Zipporin, we're talking about Tshuva. We're talking about the mitzvah of Tshuva. So what is it about Tshuva we're saying is really easy? It's not far, it's not hard, it's not distant. It's very easy. So I asked Chaim Shulevitz, if Tshuva is so easy, why doesn't everyone do it? Why don't you see that every single year it comes to Yom Nerurim, and come Motzim Kippur, everyone should be completely different people. What taka goes wrong? Where is it that tefillah, there isn't this massive tshuva movement amongst the whole of Klal Yisrael, if it's so easy? You're saying it's not difficult. It's not a difficult thing to achieve. He brings the famous story in the Torah of the kvura of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we all know the Medrash, Yaakov Avinu is brought by the Shvatim to be buried in Maris HaMachpelah. They come to Maris HaMachpelah, and Esav is standing there. And Esav says, there's only room in there for one. And it's either me, or it's Yaakov. And I'm the Bachar, and therefore I'm the one who should get that Mokum Kvur in the Maris HaMachpelah. And there's a Gansa Nidna which starts between Esav and the Shvatim, back and forth, and they say it's not true. Yaakov Avinu bought it, he bought the Bachar, and they say, prove it. So they say, well, actually, we have a Shtar. A rare occasion, the Yid actually has a Shtar for a deal that he's done. He said, we actually have a shtar, but it's not here. So fine, go back to Mitzrayim and bring me the shtar. So they go running off to Mitzrayim to bring the shtar. In the meanwhile, they're arguing back and forth. And the whole time, Yaakov Avinu is there, the Oren is there, on the floor. It comes on Chushim Ben Don. Chushim Ben Don was deaf. He doesn't understand what's going on. He hasn't been following the conversation. He doesn't know why someone's run off. He doesn't know the delay. He only knows one thing. Yaakov Avinu is lying on the floor. Yaakov Avinu, the Zayt, is lying on the floor. It's Bizayin Ameis. What's going on? He looks up, he sees Esav is blocking the path. Finished, he goes over and he kills Esav so that Yaakov can gain access to Maris HaMachpelah. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, sometimes the Mahalach of Esav, the Mahalach of the Sotan, is that he keeps us, our mind, worrying, and he keeps the Machlikas and the timers and the day-to-day, everything, such a big noise, that we don't stop to actually realize what's going on. We don't actually stop to think, does it make sense what's happening here? He says that sometimes if a person can have a flash of inspiration, sometimes if a person can give himself that jolt that wakes them up and makes them realize they tuck it, something is Nishma Seda, then all of a sudden they can be pirates Esau, they can get rid of Esau. But as long as everything is following with the whir and the noise in everyday life, we don't get a chance to wake up, we don't get a chance to take a step back and realize, is what's happening here perceived or not? We find the Mishnah in Kiddushin Daf Mem Tes tells us, "Mevakish es ha'isha amanash shani tzadik." Sorry, "Mekadish es ha'isha amanash shani tzadik." Afilu Rosh Gomu Mukadeshes. If a person marries a woman and he says, "I'm marrying you on condition that I'm a tzadik," right? And it turns out, unfortunately, he wasn't a tzadik. Mukadeshes. The Kiddushin is a good Kiddushin. Why is it a good Kiddushin? Shema here beliboy. Maybe he did tshuva. The Rambam passes like this lalocha. The Lechem Mishnah asks a kasha on the Rambam that there's a halacha. If a couple do a Maisa Kiddushin in front of Eidim who are psulim because they're a shoim, then the Kiddushin is not good. It's not chal. Ask the Lechem Mishnah, why don't we say that we should have a suffix that the Eidim on this Kiddushin, maybe they did tshuva? The same way if a person says, "I'm not shani tzadik gomu," and he wasn't a tzadik gomu, we turn around and we say, "Mesofik kiddushin, maybe he did tshuva." Why don't we say, if a person does kiddushin on Eidim, with Eidim, where the Eidim are possible because they're a shoim, the same thing, maybe they did tshuva? I say, fake the Lechem Mishnah. Answers the Lechem Mishnah, there's a big difference between the two. This person is standing there under the chuppah and he's saying, "I'm not shani tzadik." He's at least verbalizing the concept that really he would like to be a tzaddik. He might not be a tzaddik, as we discover afterwards. He might not have been a tzaddik at the time, but the fact that he's prepared to even verbalize it shows us that there's at least a desire on his part to do tshuva. But ficha obel vavcha, you have to at least verbalize, you have to at least do something to move that tshuva, that rotzen inside a person to make a difference. We say part of Malchus, part of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life, is to stop and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a story a number of years ago with a girl called Bela, who was a Yosema in Girls Town in Yerushalayim. She didn't have either parent. And one day an American couple came along, and they said they wanted to adopt a child. And they looked through the different people available in the orphanage, and they found this girl, and they chose this girl. They wanted to adopt this girl. So, Kachava, they adopted her, and they brought her back with them to America. Baruch Hashem, they had other children, they brought her into their family. All of a sudden, from having no mishpacha at all, she's got parents, she's got brothers, she's got sisters, she's got a room of her own. And they gave her all the warmth and love which she was sorely missing. But 2-3 years after she came to America and was in the school system there, the school pointed out that there's a problem with her vision. There's a problem with her vision. She's not seeing things properly, she's not reading things, and it seems to be deteriorating. Instead of sometimes a person, her vision seems to be deteriorating. They sent her off to doctors and experts, and they discovered that she had a rare disease, which meant that if things were left as they were, within 3 years she'd be blind. She was losing her vision entirely. Like any parents would do, they turned around and they said, "Listen, you know, we're not people of means, but we'll do whatever we can." They sent her off to the best doctors, the best experts. In the end, she had an operation, and Baruch Hashem, her sight was saved. Well, they carried on putting her through school, and when she finished school, they sent her off to Sem, and eventually came to Shidduchim. Baruch Hashem, they found her, a perfect, suitable Shidduch, and they married her off. They married her off. They gave her everything she needed to start her new stage in life. Unfortunately, as if she hadn't been through enough, it turns out that she didn't find it so easy to have children. A number of years, Elena, she wasn't that smart to have children, until eventually her parents came in again, and softly and gently, and with the right help, with the right Sefer Shemaya, they were zeicher, after a number of years, that Baruch Hashem, she was blessed with a son. That Friday night of the Shalom Zocher, she was eating at home, her husband, and her parents who lived around the corner. And they came in to be with them for the Friday night meal before the Shalom Zocher. Came to the stage in the meal where she stopped and she said, "You know, I want to say a few words. I want to say something." And she stopped, and before she spoke, she thought to herself, you know, I've never really said thank you. I've never really said thank you here. So she thinks to herself, you know what, where do I even start? Do I go back all the way to that lonely room that I had in the Beis Yisomim and stop then and say, thank you, Daddy and Mommy, because, you know, you took me from there where I had no one, I had nothing. You took me halfway across the world. You gave me a father, you gave me a mother, you gave me brothers, you gave me sisters, you gave me a home, you gave me a house, you gave me warmth, you gave me love. Do I start all the way back there? Or maybe no. Maybe that's already too far. Maybe I fast forward a bit. And I speak about the day that I was sitting in that office and the doctor said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your daughter in 3 years' time is going to be blind. And how different my life would have been if that diagnosis would have actually materialized. And the effort you went and the running around the country and you took me off your jobs and trying to find me the right expert, somebody who was positive, had a positive approach to the whole thing and the operation itself and how you with me after operation. So, Hoshut, the way you saved my life by giving me vision. Or maybe I just missed that out as well. And I go back to the fact that you helped me through all the difficult years and through childhood and through my teenage years and then to Sem. Or do I just jump to marriage? The Meister, how you married me off more than most people would do for their own child. You mummish treated me like your flesh and blood. You posh married me off. You took me down to the chuppah. Or maybe not. I miss out all of that. And I just jump to the fact that without you and without Kodesh Baruch Hu, we wouldn't be here sitting here tonight for Shalom Zohar. If you wouldn't have given me the encouragement, if you wouldn't have given me the support, both emotional and financial, then we wouldn't be here tonight with the Shalom Zohar. So do I just skip to that? And all these thoughts were whirring through her brain. And she stopped the meal in the middle and said, you know, I just want to say a few words. And she opened her mouth and Poshut, instead of speaking about any one of those different things, she just started to cry. Poshut just cried, and she cried, and she cried, and she cried. And there was nothing she could say. There was nothing she could Poshut verbalize, but her emotions pent up over all those years, Poshut just cried. We said that we have a problem, some people have a problem, I'll speak for myself, I have a problem. Sometimes when it comes to Yom Noraim, chapping is spineless. Managing to motivate ourselves, managing to bring ourselves to a state where we are actually doing the tshuva which we need to do in order to activate the brachas that Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting to give us. And we need to activate that, and all we need to do for that is to motivate ourselves and to do a shtikl tshuva, and we can't even do that. Even that we can't do. Poshut sometimes, what I find helps, is if you stand there in Rosh Hashanah, you know, we said, Nutzovim Vayelech, last week's parasha, Monty Leinhol of Hashanah, used to say a vault that two parashas put together, one's Nutzovim, which means to stand still, one's Vayelech, which means to move. It's funny that those two parashas are the ones put together. And he explained beautifully that, you know, sometimes person goes through life and he keeps going and going and going and going. He doesn't stop to take check. You know, men are very good at this when it comes to driving. You know, the wife says, maybe you should ask someone. No, no, I'm good. I think I know. More or less, I recognize what's going. And you drive and you drive. Eventually, you get to the stage and you realize, actually, maybe they've changed the road signs. It used to look different. You know, in a car, it's not so bad. You know, you can reverse. You can go back down the road and it's Beseda. In life, you don't have that option. You rarely have that option. A person gets to a stage where a person can go through life without stopping to think where he actually is. What's he doing? Is he following the mahalach? Is he following the roadmap that he actually intended to follow? Nitzom v'yelech b'sha is that a person should stop and stand still and think and assess themselves. Assess themselves as an individual. Assess themselves as a family. Assess themselves as a killer. Are we doing what we're meant to be doing? Are we doing what we set out to do? Is this where we want to be? What can we do different? Once a year, Rosh Hashanah, we stand in shul, and Poshut, there's enough time for us to make a stop check. Look at the roadmap. Find out, where are we actually going? Do we know where we're going? Are we just following ourselves like Poshut, a robot, like a sheep? Netzovim, stand still, make a cheshon ha-nefesh. And when you know exactly where you want to go and how you want to get there, that's why Yelech. Similarly too, we can stand on Rosh Hashanah. And before we even get to anything, part of Mamlech, you know, a Melech can only be a Melech if he's got subjects who are Mamlech him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech because we are Mamlech him. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he was the melech of the whole world. But that's not the melech without any subjects. Is not a melech. We have to imamlech him. How are we imamlech him? Poshut, think of that young lady. Stop and think for a minute. How far back are we actually even going to go when it comes to expressing our Karas HaTzev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How far back do we go? Where do we even start? There are so many things that we take for granted in our everyday lives that sometimes, you know, you only realize. The classic simple example is when a person breaks a leg. Person breaks a leg, all of a sudden everything is such a hassle. But every day of the week, we don't actually stop to think about the fact. We jump up, we get out of bed, we can move wherever we want. But there are so many other areas which, Baruch Hashem, may we never have to come across those situations in order to appreciate how good it was before. If you speak to people, you know, I think one of the things that people, I've said this before and I'll say this again, one of the things which people don't appreciate enough is Menuchsa Nefesh. Menuchsa Nefesh. And you only appreciate Menuchsa Nefesh properly when you deal with people or come across somebody who doesn't have it. When you come across someone who doesn't have Menuchsa Nefesh, Mamish Azrevi, the clawless person goes to sleep at night and is waiting for the morning is waiting for the night. There's no peace. Life is one big cloud. It's one big all, and there's no end in sight. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to shmap and poshut. Even those things which you should be looking forward to and you should be enjoying, you can't, because life is so oppressive as you perceive it. A person who wakes up in the morning and his biggest daigas are Baruch Hashem, he's busy with a simcha for a child, or he's busy with Baruch Hashem, he's got panos and his shailas what to do with his panos. He can put food on the table without having to go cap in hand and wondering where is he going to buy the next Shabbos Yontov meal from. There are so many things that we need to be makitayut HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. A person who's gebench with children, pashut, every single child, unbelievable. Every child with all the challenges and all the brachas and all the beauty of every single child. Poshut, stop on Rosh Hashanah, make a cheshbon nefesh. How much do we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? There are no words. The truth is we should get out there on Rosh Hashanah and we should start our tefillah when we get to the adequate, appropriate place. When we get to the place, Maidim, where we stop and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Poshut, we should just cry. Poshut, we should just cry. There shouldn't be the words that we can bring to express ourselves to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that He does us on a regular basis. And if we do that, if we are able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way that we need to connect, and we stop and we just thank Him like a child to our father, like a child to our mother, thank Him for all that He's doing, embrace Him, allow ourselves to drop all the, you know, the rigidity and just connect with Him, Poshut, schmooze to Him, talk to Him, thank Him, then that should enable us to make that genuine connection, because once you're mamlechim in such a way, then everything else should follow suit. Everything else should be easy. We should be gebench with chesivus and teva, a good gebench yar. We should only know nachas, simchus, gesund, personally, as families, and as a kela at large.